Mastermind
Alliance.
Power of the Mastermind.
You are listening to Mastermind with Heather Christie, produced in partnership with Gulf Shore Business Magazine. Welcome to Mastermind. This is Heather, and in this episode, I will be masterminding with Maria Jimenez-Lara. And Maria is the CEO of the Naples Children and Education Foundation. You may know of the NCEF and or Maria, because this foundation is responsible for organizing the Naples Winter Wine Festival. Maria, welcome. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so excited to talk to you. Now, I know just a little bit about the background of the Naples Children and Education Foundation, and one of the things that is just absolutely inspiring to me is the fact that you are currently supporting somewhere between 40,000 and 50,000 at-risk children. And yet, I am guessing that many people think of you as the Naples Winter Wine Festival. So if we could just start off at the beginning of the show here, and if you would please give a little bit of a description about the children that you're supporting and what this foundation actually does, I'd love to hear about that from you.
Of course. We support effective charitable programs that significantly improve the physical, emotional, and educational lives of underprivileged and at-risk children in Collier County. And we do that through our annual fundraiser, which is the Naples Winter Wine Festival. Some organizations have galas and other kinds of events. We have a four-day event that raises the money that we then turn around and use to support effective charities to help children.
Excellent. And I know that you have quite an amazing educational background. You've got two different undergraduate degrees from Florida International University and Universidad de las Americas. You're a graduate of Hodges with a master's in public administration as well. And you have so many accolades. I just want to shout out a couple of them. Woman of the Year, you've had a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Homestead, Florida, one of El Nuevo Miami Herald's rising Latino leaders. So I'm so grateful to have you on the show today. With everything that you do and all the children that you're responsible for supporting, can you please share with us a little bit about your daily disciplines? How do you do it all?
My daily disciplines really has to do with planning and goal setting, and I rely heavily on the Franklin Covey method. I, very early in my career, was trained in it, learned it, and I've always just honed in and developed it some more. And I really do believe that you have to start with the end in mind and then work backwards from there so that you can align your goals and your steps and your activities all with the intention of achieving whatever that end goal is.
I have studied Franklin Covey in the past. I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar. Can you tell us just a little bit more about the practical application of that? So, you know, how many goals do you set for yourself in any given period of time?
I think it depends on the time of year, particularly with work and what we're trying to accomplish at the organization. But I think it depends on the time of year and what I'm trying to accomplish. And it really boils down to my daily list or my weekly list. So at the beginning of the month, I already know what do I need to accomplish by the end of the month, whether it's a board meeting or some kind of activity or lining up some auction lots. And then I work backwards from there. And I think you have to accept that some of these tasks are not going to happen in 15 minutes or an hour. Some of it is a little bit like football. You're just moving the ball down the field, and then eventually you'll achieve it. But some of the tasks themselves have steps within them. So I think understanding what the end result is of that month or that week is important. And that's what helps me line things up.
So you break it down either monthly or even as much as weekly. And do you use a calendar or a planner or something else to put your activities in?
I do. I use a planner. I've tried very hard to transition to technology and still have to write it down. But there is a way to use to apply it, on an iPad or whatever. But I make my list. I don't go in any particular order. I just make my list of what needs to, what I think I need to do that day. And some things carry over from the previous day or the previous week. And then I prioritize it using ABC, and then and then I'll say A1, A2, A3. And it helps me concentrate on the items that need to get done that are important and timely and hopefully stay away from a crisis where I'm spending lots of time and energy doing a project that maybe could have been done over, you know, 3 or 4 days before that.
That last strategy that you just shared, I think it's such an important one, is the prioritization. And I think that that's probably, at least in my experience, has been one of the most difficult parts of goal setting and of planning, is to make sure that you're not just working from this long to-do list. We all have really long to-do lists. But what is the number one thing and the number two thing? And when you get to the point of having that discipline to be able to prioritize, now you're really focused on the most important aspects of your role, right?
Yes. And it is a hard thing to do, because I think everybody would, you know, you want to be able to check things off, so it's so easy to say, oh, read this letter, but that exercise won't necessarily contribute to the longer, bigger goal that you have by the end of the week or by the end of the day. So it takes a lot of discipline and the opportunity to reflect and give myself a block of time where I'm not interrupted, so I can really decide, is this really a priority, or is this something that's just going to make me feel better because I checked it off the list?
Well, getting that uninterrupted time is also a feat in and of itself with how busy you are, I'm sure. So how do you maintain that discipline? What do you actually do to take that time uninterrupted?
Sometimes it's as easy as closing the door to my office for 15, 20 minutes. I think everybody that, you know, all working people, there's so many moving parts. We have phone calls, we have emails, we have documents to produce, and then we have people to interact with. But I think, you know, if everyone just had an opportunity even to close the door for 10 minutes or find the time and the space, there are times that I'm going to have a lot of people in the office, so I get up earlier and I'll give myself 15 minutes of quiet time before everybody else wakes up in my house. Not always easy, but it makes such a big difference. And the times that I haven't done it, I've decided, oh, I really wish I would have done that. Because it makes all the difference in the world when you go into your day with a general idea of what needs to be done by the end of the day.
So I want to spend some time talking with you about leadership. And although you have a smaller organization, you have 9 employees, as I understand it, the number of children you support is just huge, and the mission is really incredible. It's important. Now, as I understand it, you're responsible for program development. You're designing effective educational programs for these children. You're collaborating with the various community-based organizations, as well as running the wine festival. So can you give us some of your most effective strategies that you use to lead all these different people who you work with?
I would say my most effective strategy is communication and relationship building. When you have so much responsibility but also so many large tasks, it's really important to be able to have good relationships with my coworkers, the people I supervise, my board, community organizations, other organizations that we work with, because that really makes the work easier, being able to communicate effectively and help others understand what we're trying to accomplish really helps progress the activity that, you know, I happen to be working on that day or at that time. You know, the strategic planning is always important, and as in organizations, we spend a lot of time and energy doing strategic planning, but I think side by side with strategic planning is effective communication and being able to use that communication to build trust and help people do the work that everyone is doing collectively.
And what would you say when you think about your communication style? Is there anything that you can point to that helps you to be an effective communicator?
I think I'm not afraid to ask for clarity. So there are times that if I don't understand or I don't think I'm on the same page as another person or another organization, I've learned to stop for a moment and make sure that, you know, I clarify with that person or that group to make sure that we're both on the same page with regard to the project or the situation. I have found that that builds trust. It also slows down trying to rush through everything. And then it'll make the following experience in trying to resolve a situation or ask for help much easier, and it evolves into a stronger relationship. So the effective communication combined with clarity, integrity, and honesty really builds as part of our foundations, but also my personal way of building. I see it kind of like as blocks to accomplish the overall goal.
And you also mentioned relationship building. You work with a number of different individuals, board members, community organizations. Do you have any specific strategies you use to build those relationships?
I think with relationship building, I think being genuine has been what has helped me personally, but also professionally. So I would always say, you know, we all have to be true to ourselves. That will help, you know, everybody in a leadership role or, you know, aspiring to a leadership role. At the end of the day, you still have to be true to yourself. And the more you are able to connect with people at a real level, at a human level, but also professional level, I think the more can be accomplished. Not everybody thinks the same way. Not everybody solves problems the same way. So really understanding oneself versus how other people handle situations is important so that you can, you know, reach consensus if needed.
Makes a lot of sense to me. After the number of years that you have been involved with the Naples Children and Education Foundation, I'm sure you have learned a lot over those years. If you could go back and have a conversation with your 21-year-old self, what advice would you give yourself?
This is a fun question to ask, so I'm glad you asked it. I think the first piece of advice I would give myself is that things always work themselves out. There were many times in my career that I was very anxious or I couldn't reach a solution or I couldn't right away say done or, you know, a crisis was occurring with a family I was working with or something like that. But in the end, things really do always work themselves out. And sometimes it takes weeks, months, years, but they really do. The other is that mistakes will happen. And you will make lots of mistakes, and that is okay. You know, one will learn from mistakes, but I also think it's important to understand why the mistake happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the last piece of advice I would say is be thorough and mindful no matter what I'm doing. You know, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody that you're not.
I love the advice. And, you know, it's so interesting. This is one of my favorite questions, and I think I've asked it of every guest so far. What's amazing about it is the advice that you give your 21-year-old self, I think, is really valid for all of us today, no matter how old we are. I mean, I think about, you know, that things will work themselves out. How often do we forget that when we're right in the midst of some sort of crisis and we can get too emotionally attached to that, to just have that faith that it might take time, but it's going to work out? I think that that's something that all of us could use a reminder on. So I thank you for that. The other one, mistakes will happen, learn why they happen. So I think it's one thing to say mistakes will happen. I think we all kind of understand that, especially those who are in leadership roles in business. But I think the important piece there that you said is learn why it happened. Because if you know why the mistake happened, then hopefully you can prevent it. Really powerful lesson. So I appreciate you sharing those with us. Is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to share that you think would be something that our listeners could take away and use immediately?
I think we all have a personal internal mission, whether it's, you know, in your role to develop leaders or help people, you know, achieve, become better leaders. But I think if everybody could clearly or get close to defining what is it that I want with my life or what am I going to commit myself to, I think sometimes that being able to do that makes projects or decision making a lot easier. So for me personally, I've always used the mantra of do what's best for kids. I've worked in educational settings and in other programs where, you know, I was working with at-risk kids, you know, gang kids in Miami and things like that. And I always, if I go by what is best for kids, it makes some of the tough decisions much easier, whether it was, you know, perhaps dismissing a teacher because that's not what was best for kids, or making a budget decision because that wasn't best for kids, or even in the organization I'm in now, NCF helps so many kids, but I rely on that personal mission that really resonates with who I am, what is best for kids. And sometimes it makes decision-making a little easier in terms of, you know, I was hired to do this job, I have to do what's best for kids, and in the end, you know, I mean, you have to be structured about it, but it has helped me, and I think it would help others get through some of the tougher times or the tougher decisions that need to be made, because it just simplifies it.
I love it. The personal internal mission. And mm-hmm. I think you're right. We all have one. We absolutely all have that purpose inside of us. I think, unfortunately, there are many people out there, and when I say many, in my experience, it's the majority of people, who haven't really tapped in to that internal mission. And I know there are some who are listening right now who are struggling or frustrated a little bit because they don't know what it is. Any feedback from you on how you found your mission? How did you know for you that it was to do with Best for Kids? How did you get yourself into that position of, you know, wanting to help educate at-risk children?
Some of it came from just, you know, my upbringing from my parents of, you know, always giving back. I think as a family and as a personal value, I was taught to, you know, leave something in a better condition than when you found it. So whether it was borrowing someone's car or borrowing someone's clothes, you know, you just leave things in a better way. And I think I've applied that to what I do. So leave this world a better place than how I found it. And that to me is taking care of the children or doing what I can do for children, which led me to what is best for the children. But I think it goes back to what is it that one likes. So if one hasn't been able to define, well, why am I here? What am I doing? Or am I just working to get a paycheck so I can support my family? But, well, what do you like to do? What feels good? And, you know, they say that if you do what you love, then you'll never be working. And it sounds cliche, but it's very, very true. And it means maybe making some tough decisions. But in the end, if, you know, those that are in leadership positions, you still have to be a role model. You have to be able to be high functioning. You have to be able to, you know, accomplish many things, you know, within a certain amount of time. And if you're not true to yourself and if you're not able to stick to your own values and that of your organizations, then it's almost like you're spinning your wheels. You know, you're just doing the job as opposed to immersing yourself in it because it's part of your mission.
So true. Well, we are very fortunate here in Collier County to know that you have your internal mission, and I think that that serves as really your internal compass, right? It helps you make decisions. It helps you be the leader that you have been recognized over and over, the leader that you are. So I also feel very fortunate that you took time to share with us on Mastermind, and appreciate you really sharing some very practical tips with the listeners. So thank you so much, Faye. I appreciate it.
It is my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity.
And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Mastermind with Heather Christie, which is produced in partnership with Gulf Shore Business Magazine. And I want you to be thinking about how you can implement some of the strategies that Maria shared in your own life or business. And let's start off with the last one that she shared, which I think is one of the most important for any leader, having that clarity on what your purpose is. What is your personal internal mission, I think, is how you shared it, Maria. So if you don't have that, it's something really that's worth taking time to discover. So be thinking about that. A few of the comments, again, that Maria made about leadership in general is the effective communication, using your communication to build trust. So if you have questions, if you're not sure if you're aligned with the people who work with and for you, make sure that you're confident enough to ask questions so you can get the clarity that you need, because that goes a long way in building trust. When it comes to relationship building, Maria said, be yourself, be genuine. And then you're going to be connecting with people at that human level as well as the professional level. And I think that strategic planning is just a must for every one of us. If you don't have a clear vision for where you're headed, it's very, very hard to lead and to get people on the same page, on the same team. So, Maria, again, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you. You can find our show notes for this episode at heatherchristie.com, and we will include links to the Naples Winter Wine Festival as well as some other social media links where you can connect with Maria. And please leave us a comment, and if you enjoyed this episode, please like it, please share it, and it's been a pleasure talking with you, Maria. See you soon at the Wine Festival.
Absolutely. Thank you. Likewise.